Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
I want you to know that the mothership has landed.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, my brother? I want permission to come aboard the mothership.
Asking permission to join a sports talk spaceship? Well, we're all a little crazy. The mothership has connected.
The mothership.
Let's come
aboard.
Man, I'm feeling great.
I'm doing great.
Happy Friday to you, boys and girls. One question and one question only. How do you feel?
Well, I feel good and I'm doing well.
Well, that's all that really matters. And we come to you live from the Quicken Loans Studios. Quicken Loans, national mortgage lender. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. Thanks so much for being with us on a Target Demo Friday. I'm broadcasting live from 1230 The Zone in West Palm Beach, home of sports in the Palm Beaches here in South Florida. Wonderful to be down here. My annual trip to cover the Grapefruit League and to go check out some spring training. My roots began my career with spring training. My first job out of college, my first full-time job out of college, was in Fort Myers, Florida, on the west coast of Florida, at a tiny station there. And it was the home of both the Red Sox and the Twins, spring training. So I was out there covering spring training on a daily basis, getting my feet wet in the professional world, covering the Grapefruit League. I also did some play-by-play for the Fort Myers Miracle. And so I really came to love spring training and minor league baseball. Those were my first two internships as well, minor league baseball with the New Jersey Cardinals as well as the Hudson Valley Renegades. So I always love every year kind of dipping my toe back into spring training and minor league baseball. I just love it so much. So I love coming down here once a year, and it's so nice that 1230 The Zone in West Palm Beach, an affiliate that carries us here on CBS Sports Radio and my show every day, I could actually be doing the show from their studio. So thanks so much for their hospitality. Coming up this hour, Steve Lavin's going to join us from Turner Sports. We'll talk to him in about 17 minutes from now from what went down last night in the Sweet 16. It's also a Target Demo Friday, so we want to know what you're doing as you listen to the show. So hit us up on both Facebook and on Twitter to let me know what you're doing as you listen and where you're at as you listen. Go to facebook.com/TheDA Show. Again, facebook.com/TheDA Show. Also, you can go to Twitter, DA on CBS, and let us know what you're doing as you listen, where you're at, and what you got cooking this weekend. And I'll read those for Target Demo Friday coming up here at 40 minutes past the hour. Last night, some fun games. K-State surviving Kentucky 61-58, while Loyola Chicago survives Nevada 69-68. Two blowout wins, Florida State mauling Gonzaga 75-60, Michigan dismantling Texas A&M 99-72. Can any of the four winners last night ultimately win a championship? Because the other half of the bracket, the other side of the bracket, which plays tonight, has the power teams left. Villanova, a one seed. Purdue, a two seed. Kansas, a one seed. Duke, a two seed. All four of those teams could win a national championship. And none would be considered a surprise. There's also a three seed Texas Tech available on that side, a five-seed West Virginia, a five-seed Clemson, and while Syracuse is an 11, they've got a head coach that's in the Hall of Fame and have won a national championship before and have gone to two Final Fours already this decade. So when it comes down to a national championship game that will hold either Kansas State, Loyola Chicago, Florida State, or Michigan, can any of them win a national title? I am here to say only Michigan. I do believe that. I don't believe the other three can win a national title. I think the other three can get to a Final Four. I think Loyola Chicago could beat Kansas State. And obviously, I believe that a power team out of the Big 12, the deepest conference in America this year, could beat Loyola Chicago. And I believe that Florida State, on a really good night like they had last night, that was a really good night for Florida State, could knock off Michigan if Michigan doesn't shoot well. But I think overall, out of those four, the only true competition in the national championship game for a Kansas, for a Duke, for a Villanova, would be Michigan. But the one game, winner take all, makes everything a crapshoot. I mean, at this point in time, Loyola Chicago needs to beat a 9 seed, and then they're 2 wins away from the greatest story in college basketball history, an 11 seed Loyola Chicago going all the way to a national championship game and winning, which would supersede and overtake what Butler did a couple of years ago going to a national title game. Because at least Butler had Gordon Hayward on that team. They had multiple NBA players on that team. Loyola Chicago does not. And I wonder, is this not the perfect year for that to happen? This was the first year ever that we got a 16 over a 1. This was a year that all season long felt like college basketball is collapsing on itself. This was the first year we had the NBA openly say, we don't want the one and done anymore. We want to fix this. We have an FBI probe. This was the wackiest, craziest college basketball season. I mean, both Duke and Villanova lost to St. John's in the same week. St. John's lost 11 straight games in the Big East, then beat Villanova and Duke suddenly. This was one of the weirdest seasons in college basketball, and I think this is a new normal in this sport. I say that because we are on the verge of things breaking apart. And that might be a good metaphor for a lot of things in society. A lot of stuff that we used to do a certain way that we took for granted have broken apart or are breaking apart. And that worries a lot of people. That scares a lot of people. Human beings are normally most comfortable with stability and what's expected. Predictability is huge. My cohort here on this show, Sean Mraz, is scared of change. He will openly admit this. He likes routine. He likes to know exactly what he's going to eat, when he's going to eat it, where he's going to stay, what we're going to do. When we go on remote, when we do the show from Super Bowl week or Final Four week, weeks ahead of time, he needs to know where we're staying and how close the nearest CVS is.
Very accurate.
A lot of people are like Mraz. Routine, predictability is safe, it's comfortable, it's survival. So what's happening in this country, what's happening in this world is uncomfortable for a lot of people. A lot of things are changing. I think college basketball is changing. I know that you can just simply take this on numbers and say, well, DA, we've had other 11 seeds get this far before. We've had other number one seeds go down. We knew a 16 would beat a 1 at some point in time. What's the big deal? And that's true if you just want to zoom out and look at the numbers of this, the micro of this. I'm talking about macro. I think this is the end of something and the beginning of something else. Because no matter what happens within the FBI probe, who gets named, who gets taken down, what the NCAA does, a spotlight has been shown on the dark, gross underbelly of college basketball. And somebody's going to get scared. Some AD, some coach, some program, some player, something's going to get blown up here. And it might take a couple of years, but once it's a federal crime to do the stuff that was going down, because before this, it was simply an NCAA infraction. If you were paying the Fab Five at Michigan, if you were illegally recruiting, if your kids were stealing laptops like at UConn, or you had kids that didn't go to class, or you were fudging grades, You can't go to your conference tournament. You can't play in the NCAA tournament. You lose scholarships. You take down a banner. You don't go to jail. You don't go to trial. You don't get labeled with a felony. There's no criminal charge to that. Now we're talking about criminal charges. Whether you agree with our federal government spending money to do this or not, that's the reality. This will scare people. It already has. That has to change something. What it's also doing is it's exposing the ridiculousness of college basketball and still force-feeding the notion that these are student-athletes and that it's about education and yada, 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 when it's not. We all know it's not. That's simply a facade they put up so that they can keep making billions of dollars. And the NBA says, you know what? This isn't working for anybody. We want to do our own developmental system. So we're going to put forth a plan to be more connected with amateur basketball, youth basketball, AAU. And in fact, we'll put forth a plan where there will no longer be college basketball one and done. You can come directly to our league and play in the G League. We'll have ownership of your rights. And the NBA is going to revolutionize itself and how it does business here. Something's about to break apart. And as I've talked about, if the NBA does away with one and done, meaning that high school kids at the highest level, like a Marvin Bagley, like a DeAndre Ayton, like whoever, can come directly from high school and go to the NBA and make money, those players will never get to the NCAA tournament. Those players will never get to college basketball, which will change the dynamic of the tournament. It'll change the dynamic of power schools. You might have power schools becoming a lot less powerful if they don't have high-end NBA talent. You might see analytics become a much bigger part of college basketball like it is in the NBA. And smaller schools like the Loyola of Chicago, the St. Bonaventures, schools like this, say, let's invest in analytics instead of spending $6 million for a coach. Let's invest $1 million a year in analytics and find the market inefficiencies like the Oakland Athletics did 15 years ago. You might see college basketball look completely different. I think you will. I think we're on the precipice of something. And that means I think what we're seeing this year is going to be somewhat of a norm. You'll see unpredictability in the playoffs, in the tournament in this case. You'll see unpredictability within seedings, power teams not being so powerful. You'll see weird upsets. You'll see, I think, an element of change throughout everything. And I like it. I like it. I think it needed to break apart. I think the way that it had been done was such a sham for so long, it needed to be broken apart. And I think we're going to inch closer to that. So this has been chaotic, this has been crazy, but this has been fun. And I hope and I think this is the start of a new NCAA tournament where it's going to feel more like this, and it's just impossible to predict many things that happen, and that the lesser schools that you thought were lesser were not really that much lesser and really have a fighting shot. And I don't think Loyola Chicago can win a national championship against Duke, against Villanova, against Kansas. But I feel that way because those schools have NBA talent. Loyola Chicago does not. What happens if those schools don't have NBA talent? 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. Twitter, DA on CBS. Let's talk to Steve Lavin about last night's action in the Sweet 16 and tonight's action as well. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Make the right game plan for you. Farmers Insurance has practical insurance knowledge gained from more than 89 years of experience. Find an agent at farmers.com.
We are Farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
Starting on Monday, we're back on the simulcast. Today, we're on remote at 12:30, The Zone in West Palm Beach, Florida. But when we're back in the studio on Monday, the simulcast will be back. So go to watchda.com to watch that every single day when we're in studio. Simulcast the show in video form. The digital simulcast comes your way, and that is mobile friendly. Our next guest, former head coach at UCLA and St. John's, former Pac-10 Coach of the Year. He's now an analyst and broadcaster for Turner Sports. You can follow him on Twitter as well for the latest at SteveLavin64 and his thoughts as we head into night two of the Sweet 16. Our friend Steve Lavin joins us on the show. Coach, good morning. How you doing?
Terrific. Great to be with you.
Always good to be with you as well. And we have to start with Loyola of Chicago because this is right now the story of the tournament. How, in your mind, do they keep doing this, winning on a final shot this far, this deep into the tournament?
Well, it's now a group of players that have had an outstanding season, a championship-level season, and they're well-coached. And once you hit some late shots, you get that aura of invincibility, and you begin to believe as a group that you're destined. And Sister Jean doesn't hurt either with the rosary beads, 98 years old. And I like to say Red Rush, the old legendary broadcaster, used to call the Ramblers back in the day when they won the national championship. He's in the heavens above, smiling down on this run by Loyola. And he's the one, Red Rush, that coined the phrase charity stripe and tickling the twine and a number of other phrases that I've borrowed from the years. But it's really a special story. And Porter Mosier, someone that worked for Rick Majerus at St. Louis, and he's had, you know, other coaching stops. But I remember Coach Majerus when I worked with him in studio at ESPN talking about Porter Mosier and really felt that he was one of the bright young coaches in basketball and almost a basketball savant or a genius. And so I think he's played a big part, obviously, as the architect of that program. And they play smaller, but they have great ball handlers, highly skilled teams. They stretch the floor because of the threat of the three-point shot. They're patient. They're willing to investigate. They show discipline in terms of turning down average shots to make that one more pass and get a great look. And they either nail you from the three or because of that great spacing and stretching defenses with the threat of the three, they'll get back cuts and may get themselves, you know, wide open layups as well. So they're kind of a pick-your-poison team. And they don't mind playing at a tortoise pace. That's what they're used to. It's deliberate. And sometimes that unnerves or discombobulates a team that's used to getting more shots or playing at a faster tempo. So I think another key to their success is imposing their preferred tempo on opponents in a sustained way over the course of the game. And then with timely shooting, they've knocked opponents out. And again, that gets back to confidence, the aura of invincibility, and really believing that they're destined to win the national title.
Steve Lavin joins us here on the DA Show, CBS Sports Radio. Eric Musselman decided down a point with about 30 seconds to go not to foul and to allow Loyola Chicago to drain clock and try to get the defensive stop. You in that spot, would you have played the foul and free throw game and fouled Loyola Chicago?
You know, early in my career, my first stop at UCLA, I was more of a, you know, have a hunch, bet a bunch. I was more the feel of the game, the flow of the game. And then being away for 7 years in television and watching so many games when you're in the studio as well as traveling coast to coast as I was with Brent Musburger calling games on ABC on Saturday and covering the Big Ten during the week. When I returned for my second tour of duty and coaching at St. John's, I did foul in those situations. And some of that also was, you know, looking at the metrics and the math, the data that has come in both from NBA games as well as college games. That the percentages say to foul in that situation. And then also, just I like the idea of getting the ball back with a lead and having confidence that we can get the ball in bounds, and that if we do get fouled, we're going to make free throws. But again, it's one of those philosophical debates, kind of like do you pressure the ball in late-game situations on the inbounder when someone's trying to go the length of the court with, you know, a couple seconds to go. We saw that situation in the Michigan-Houston game last weekend. Michigan-Houston last weekend in Wichita. So, you know, there's those interesting debates. Do you run a prevent defense in football late in the game when you've got a lead, or do you continue to put heat on the quarterback? I believe in that situation, the prevent defense prevents you from winning, so you like to continue to put ball pressure on the quarterback in football. And And again, Coach Musselman, it comes back to his feel at that time. So not to second guess or whatnot, but if I were in that situation, yes, I would foul.
I want to ask you about two defensive matchups coming up tonight in the Sweet 16. The press of West Virginia against the one seed Villanova, the zone of Syracuse against the two seed Duke. Which of those two defenses do you think has a better chance to rattle one of the top seeds, West Virginia's press or Syracuse's 2-3?
Well, it's a great question, and both those are kind of fascinating studies when you put them under the magnifying glass. You know, Villanova, because of their guard play, Phil Booth, Jalen Brunson, I think they'll be able to generate some points and opportunities against West Virginia's traps. The goal of West Virginia is to speed up opponents, to turn them over, and then the Mountaineers feast on those turnovers and are able to convert them into points. The quick strike, scoring in bunches, the runs, they look for the haymakers when they go on a 10-0, 12-2, 16-4 blitz, and they put three of those together over the course of a game, and that's how they separate from opponents. Interesting, Villanova, just the opposite. They use their defense, three-quarter court, 1-2-2 zone press back into their man or back into their zone defense. They use their pressure to slow opponents down. They don't mind it if they cough it up and turn it over, and they'll convert those into buckets because Villanova's putting up big numbers, 80-plus points per game. They attack the three-point line well. But interesting how both teams, Bob Huggins, Jay Wright, use pressure. They use defense to win games. But one is to slow down an opponent, give them less time on the clock in Villanova's case, so that opponents can't attack them as effectively against their zone or man with that short clock they're dealing with. And Bob Huggins wants to speed people up. I think Syracuse probably has the defense that's better suited because of their length to beat Duke. But I think at the end of it, Duke will win the game because their offense, they've got enough firepower, enough athleticism, they play with a margin for error. Oh, yeah, and by the way, Mike Krzyzewski's not bad at this stage of the season.
Steve Lavitt joins us here on the show. Turner, sports broadcaster, as we look at the Sweet 16 and then last night feeding into the Elite Eight. Final questions about Kentucky. John Calipari and the Wildcats catching some flack today for not waiting until the celebration of K-State ended to shake hands. Now, Coach Cal did shake hands with a coaching staff, but they didn't wait around for the players. What do you think, having been a head coach in that spot, what should Coach Cal and Kentucky have done last night?
Well, it's really interesting. Because I wasn't there and you're only getting snippets in terms of camera angles and highlights and obviously reports that have come from the site, I hesitate to comment because it's not informed. I can't really speak in the intelligent manner that I would be able to if I was actually there to witness it with my own eyes. I will say that John Calipari's coached long enough, and I trust his intuition. If he felt waiting around longer could have led to a situation where now the frustration or the emotion of his players lead to things getting chippy, and then a fight breaks out, then he'd been questioned probably for not getting his team off the court sooner. So it's one of those easy, again, to Monday morning quarterback someone. And again, if I was there, I'd be able to give you a more informed or intelligent response. Ideally, you always want to be able to shake hands with the coaches and with the players and the managers and the trainers and the team doctors and all that. But again, it can get crazy and chaotic in a celebration with dog piling and, you know, the kids rightfully celebrating as they should that moment. There's even been discussion about having the handshakes before the game and not having handshakes after, similar to what some of the NBA teams do during championship series to avoid those potential flare-ups. So again, if I was there, I'd give you a better response, but that's my kind of general feel on it.
Final question. You've coached in Sweet 16s and Elite Eights. Which is more nerve-wracking for the kids? Is it a lead-up and a build-up we were thinking all week about playing in a Sweet 16, or is it an Elite Eight knowing that with a win, we get to go to the Final Four?
Yeah, I think at this stage of the season, the teams that are still playing are enjoying the experience. They can't wait to get back on the floor. You've got a certain momentum, and you want to continue to have that wind at your back and continue to have that pep in the step. I think kids probably are less anxious than the coach. the coach is thinking about so many different elements in game planning, potential adjustments, how to distribute the minutes, rotations, the way in which they're going to guard ball screens or how they're going to handle their coverages on post defense. I also think it's important at this stage that coaches don't overcoach. The Hayes in the barn, as legendary coach Pete Newell used to say. And really, if anything, you want to simplify and execute, not try and add more things. There are subtle adjustments that you make over the flow of a game. And again, that comes from experience. And so often we see coaches that are at this stage of the year who have been there before. Bruce Weber's as an assistant at Purdue for years under Gene Katie at Southern Illinois when he went to a Sweet 16 at Illinois when he went to the final game in 05, losing to North Carolina. Now here he is again in the Elite Eight. Boeheim, Krzyzewski. I mean, these are coaches, Beeline, that have all been here before, and that's not a coincidence. Their vital signs are not going as high as a younger coach who's never been there before, never experienced this. Doesn't mean a young coach this first time at this stage of the year can't win. Eventually, people break through. Calhoun, Gary Williams were coaches for years that were perceived as not being able to win the big one, and then they end up winning a lot of big ones. But I think it does help have an experience, the steady stewardship, and the fact they're able to channel that energy or that emotion in an effective manner in terms of making good judgments with clarity. And I think teams feed off their coaches' stewardship or leadership and their energy. And so as a result, younger kids, 18 to 22, need that leadership at this stage of the season. Keep them focused and use that adrenaline in an effective manner.
The hay is in the barn, and Sister Jean is still dancing. It's the 2018 NCAA Tournament. Steve Lavin, follow him on Twitter for the latest around the tournament, at SteveLavin64. Turner Sports broadcaster, coached in many a Sweet 16 as well, five of them to be exact. Coach, it's always good to visit with you, man. Thanks so much. Enjoy the Elite Eight, and then the Final Four. We'll catch up again.
Take care. Enjoyed it. Look forward to it.
You too. Steve Lavin joining us this morning here on the DA Show. We are heard coast to coast every single day here on CBS Sports Radio. Also, we are streaming on the CBS Sports app, so download that app completely for free, and you can listen to the show wherever you are on your phone. We're also on Apple Music as well, so check us out there. And DA On Demand is on iTunes. Simply search DA CBS Sports. Full episodes available there. When we come back into Target Demo Friday, we'll hear what you got going on, dear sirs. Why you call that? That's what we come back with, your Target Demo Friday. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Open now for brunch.
DA, first and foremost, man, you do a great job. I've been following you over the years, man. You're very professional, and you're straight to the point.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Very professional. Not words you usually hear associated with the DA Show, but glad you're with us on a fine Friday around here. CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is always 855-212-4227, brought to you by GEICO. Everybody, there's a quick way you could save money switching to GEICO. Do you need homeowners, renters, or motorcycle insurance too? Get it all at geico.com. Hey, the Target Demo Friday, so we'd love to hear what you got cooking on a Friday as you listen to the show. Also, you can hit us up on Facebook, facebook.com/TheDAShow, or on Twitter, DA on CBS. Time for your Ask the Pros question of the day, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Guaranteed low prices, excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. Tony tweets, DA, how does Coach Cal not have more titles to show for all of the NBA players that go through his program? Okay, let's start with his first two stops, UMass and Memphis. That would have been a miracle to win national championships there. You have to realize, when UMass, he took over that job in the late 80s, it was one of the worst jobs in America, and they got to a Final Four and had Marcus Camby there, who ended up going as a lottery pick and having a long and productive NBA career. So you cannot say that Coach Cal underachieved at UMass. Of course, they've had to vacate that Final Four because Camby took money from an agent, But you can't say he underachieved there. At Memphis, he takes over a squad, a program that is not in a major conference. And he brings them to a national championship game where if they hit free throws and Mario Chalmers doesn't hit a miraculous shot nearing the end of regulation, Memphis has a national championship. Now, it might be vacated because Derrick Rose had somebody else take his SATs for him. Fortunately not show, you know. But he gets Memphis on the doorstep of a national championship and in the tournament every single year and produced massive NBA talent like Derrick Rose, an NBA MVP. You can't say he underachieved at Memphis. He has one national championship at Kentucky. And I do think you can honestly look at his run at Kentucky and wonder, should he have multiple titles now? I think that's fair. I think also what happens, though, is when you recruit the way that he's recruiting, a number of players that will be one and done, a number of players, the bulk of players that say, I just want to play at Kentucky for a year because I've got sights on the NBA. It is really hard to get them all on the same page within one season. Within one basketball season, you have a new roster every year. It's remarkably hard. Look, Coach K has been great over the course of time, but Coach K won four of his five titles with guys that have been there 3 or 4 years. He's only got one with the bulk of the team being one and dones. So he's tied with Coach Calipari there. And nobody ever says that Coach K is an underachiever. It's hard to get guys to buy in on defense when they've only got sights of the NBA. It's hard to get a bunch of 18-year-olds to play well and together and bonded in November and December. It's hard to be learning on the fly every game you ever coach. And that's what he's done. It's a high-risk, high-reward proposition. And it is a vicious cycle. By virtue of allowing guys and encouraging guys to be one and done, he gets the best high school players every year. But they leave. And so there's no continuity and no consistency. You know, last night they didn't play well. And I also don't think that Coach Cal is a great in-game coach. I think he's a great recruiter and an elite salesman. I don't think he's a great in-game coach. And so that also hurts him. But pick your poison. Do you want the best recruiting class every single year? Or do you want the best tactician? Because most times that's not the same. All right, let's get to your target demo Friday, boys and girls.
It's a 3-hour black hole block party. Here's what our listeners are doing as they connect to the mothership.
Fix tweets it. I'm getting ready to go out with my 3-fingered friend over the weekend, having the in-laws over. Hashtag Mraz would lose his mind. Hashtag can I get a beam up, please? Jason tweets, AM 970, Duluth, Minnesota, still putting in that work, driving that brown truck in circles, enjoying the spring weather. Just celebrated my little guy's first birthday yesterday. Hashtag Delivery Guy Nation. Nice job, Jason. I didn't even have a job, Damien. Chad tweets, I'm streaming on the TuneIn app, working for the weekend. Planning some college b-ball and maybe some action to the grill this weekend. I enter the drawing and have my fingers crossed to win that DA show koozie. Hashtag little wet, little drippy. Hashtag I ain't stone no dog.
I'm a little wet, little drippy.
I ain't stone no dog.
I told you I ain't stone no dog.
I ain't stone no dog.
Kevin tweets, Mraz's bodily functions of the PGP have created a monster. Hashtag Robbie Rosenhaus. Hashtag house on fire.
Robbie.
Fernando tweets, I'm listening from Las Vegas, preparing baked ziti and chicken tacos for the games tonight. You need to eat like this.
You need to eat like this. You need to eat like this.
AJ tweets, I'm listening on TuneIn app, migrated south like you, but to Charleston, South Carolina, officiating my friend's wedding tomorrow. I may make a Mraz reference to the ceremony, but I'm not sure which one to pick. Beam me up in the name of marriage. Hashtag zap zap. Target demo Friday. Brian tweets, DA grinding out school lunches on a Friday here in beautiful Erie, Pennsylvania. Looking forward to some good hoops over the weekend. You need to eat like this.
You need to eat like this. You need to eat like this.
Josh in Arizona. Hashtag listen, Daniel. Driving 600 miles on the interstate. Awesome to have the show on SiriusXM the whole way. Hashtag beam me up. Out of New Hampshire, Damien. Listen, Daniel.
SiriusXM.
SiriusXM 206. Alex tweets, I'm celebrating my twins' 11th birthday tonight with a big dinner. Hashtag, you need to eat like this.
You need to eat like this. You need to eat like this.
Hit me up on Twitter, DA on CBS and the Target Demo Friday. Robert H. tweets in, listening from Pontiac, Michigan via the CBS Sports Radio app. College hoop for sure. State of Michigan well represented. UM and Central Michigan's Chippewas women plus Division III Ferris State men in the finals. Hashtag, I ain't stole no dog.
I ain't stole no dog.
Daniel tweets, wait, did I just hear you say you got engaged? I missed it. Hurricane Jen is probably so sad she drank herself into another terrible phone call.
What?
That's not right. Jen will always be very close to my heart, even if I'm getting married to another woman. James tweets, good morning, DA. Listening to the mothership from Toasty Tucson. Last day of the work for me, and then it's time for family barbecuing and cooling off in the pool. Enjoy Florida. Hashtag, how many beers ago? Probably 1,000.
How many beers ago? Probably 1,000.
He tweets, I'm listening on the TuneIn app, driving my truck. Can you please give a shout out to the York City PA firefighters, but a fellow fighter died in the line of duty yesterday protecting the city. Hashtag hero. Absolutely, E. That is an incredibly dangerous and admirable and courageous job. I hate when I hear any of those stories happen. And so absolutely a big shout out to all of those who protect and serve. Matt tweets, I'm counting inventory today, but going to take advantage of this 80 degree Texas weather this weekend. I'm going fishing. Hashtag, you need to eat like this.
You need to eat like this. You need to eat like this.
And Mike from Buffalo, WGR550, tweeting, I agree with you on loving complete anarchy in the tournament. Give us Loyola Chicago versus Duke. Screw the ratings. I want insanity, and the story is so much sweeter than a mid-major. What?
What?
And that is your Target Demo Friday. Let's get your epic fail. Robbie Rosenhaus, a.k.a. The House, bringing down the house this week with a very arrogant PGP that's created internal strife around CBS Sports Radio's newsroom. It's your epic fail.
Even the DA show is not perfect. We know. Shocking. Here's the epic fail.
This is the perfect metaphor for why Robbie is disliked around. Robbie, where were you?
In traffic.
No, you weren't.
Yeah, I was.
You said you were going to be here at noon.
Yeah, I know. I was in traffic, though.
Well, you got to give yourself time. It's New York City.
Well, unfortunately, it was a nice dodge. Things
you know, this cut into your time. Now we only
I
have...
know, and I'm out of breath, so I'm going to even have less time.
When I give you the platform, people resent it.
I don't understand. I think they're a little scared. They may be a little jealous. I don't know.
Hey, Daddy, I want an Oompa Loompa.
That's for them to decide. All I know is that I have a good personality. You obviously see it. You know talent. I mean, Joey Waller sees it. He knows talent.
Bobcats 12-10 in front of the Heat.
Mraz obviously clearly doesn't, so he's just afraid of me. I think he's afraid of the Big Bad Wolf.
Okay, well, Mraz, you consider yourself the Big Bad Wolf.
100%.
Why?
Because he's like Little Red Riding Hood. He has no shot. I'll come in here. I'll come right after him.
And what do you mean? You want his job?
Or who knows? Maybe one day down the line. Sure, why not?
I just don't understand why so many people don't like that I put you on the air. Okay.
Oh, because of the stuff. I mean, I was involved with Outside the Cage and stuff, and I rubbed some people the wrong way.
I don't know if those guys don't like it. I just know that when I say I'm going to have you on the PGP, people go, oh my God, you're going to have this clown come on? What are you going to do? You're going to have this guy? What is... Wow. And so...
You know what it is? I don't think people take me seriously. But when I tell you that I'm one of the smartest people that work here, okay? I hope you know that, because I am. People just don't know it. But I'm one of the smartest and most talented people in here. I've certainly had obstacles along the way in my radio career that I've kind of overcome.
Self-imposed obstacles?
Yeah, some of them, yes. I would say so.
Discipline?
No. I wouldn't say no.
Work ethic?
No.
Punctuality?
No. off the field stuff.
Working with others?
No, none of that stuff.
Epic fail, you loser.
That is why you fail.
Epic fail.
Oh, Robbie, make sure you listen to this week's PGP, the Permission Granted Podcast with the house, Robbie Rosenhaus. Jeff tweets, Cuse wins by 2 tonight and a buzzer beater 3 missed by Grayson Allen. He refuses to shake hands after Boeheim yells at him. Two begin to argue. Allen takes a swing at Boeheim, but then Coach K gives Allen an RKO out of nowhere. Crowd goes nuts. CBS fades to black. Dan on Facebook, finally feels a little bit like spring in Western New England today. I feel good. I'm doing well, DA. The winter has been a machine of death. Daryl writes on Facebook, I'm listening on radio.com, driving to Kansas City, working tomorrow, but it's payday today. DA, Mario coin, kapling! That will do it for us this morning here on the DA Show. Thanks to everybody that made this thing happen here on the show today. Sean Mraz, executive producer. Pete the Body Balotti on the wheels of steel. And Andrew Bogish on your headlines. Thanks so much to our host here, 1230 The Zone in West Palm Beach. They were absolutely fantastic hosts here for me today. I thank them very, very much. Enjoy Sweet 16. Be good and be good to one another. We'll see you on Monday. The Mothership disconnects.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.